All right, Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 11 through 15. You follow along silently, and I'll read them aloud. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Notice that statement there, the unity of the faith. Ephesians 4, and we're in verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, if you'll listen to me, and I know the planes are flying over and you'll hear the rumble, don't worry, it's not Brother Stoltz's stomach, okay? So, tonight, I want to tackle what I think, personally, probably destroys more churches than any other thing. God has allowed me to be in some great places, some great churches with great men. I've seen in my life a lot of things. I'm not an old man. Hush. I'm not an old man yet, but for some reason, God put me around in a lot of different places, seeing a lot of different things awful early in life. I've seen many churches that used to be great churches that are now liberal churches. They once were great places of soul winning, bus ministry, house to house, door to door, evangelism on fire, hellfire, damnation preaching, that now, tonight, our church is as big as theirs on a Wednesday night, and they used to run 5,000, 10,000. What happens? I've watched them change. I've watched them go from being the right kind of church to where they've got their drum sets and their electric guitars and their rock and roll music and their praise and worship bands and choirs and do their dancing around on the platform, and they're not even a fraction of what they used to be. What happens? I believe, according to Scripture, God wants unity in his church. Look at verse number 13 with me again. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Down in verse 15 it says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him all things, which is the head, even Christ. He's talking about the church here. God says that he wants unity in his church. He tells us so in many other places, but he wants us to function together and work together as one unit. And by the way, he knows if we do, we can reach more people and we can get the gospel out farther and farther because of it. It's like our body. Did you know your body has many different parts to it? Hey, you have many different parts in your hand, many different parts in your feet and your legs and your knees, and you've got muscles and you've got tendons and you've got other things in there that hold things together, and you got bones and you got organs, not pianos, but you got organs, amen? And you've got all these different things that work together as one body. Now, most of those things you can function without one of them or some of them. There's only two things you can't live without: your brain and your heart. Past that, you can live. Some of you are living without a brain. But we can't live without a brain. We can't live without a heart. But you can cut your finger off and still live. You can cut your arm off and still live. You can cut a leg off and still live. Or cut your nose off and still live. You can even have your mouth sewed shut. Don't get any cute ideas. And still live, all right? There's ways to get around some of those things, but your body works together as a unit, and it's all working together as one. Now, the devil has had a plan since the beginning. Liberals, the devil, whatever you want to call them, they claim they want unity. But they don't want unity. They want everyone from everywhere to get along and be the same, and they call that unity. But that is not what unity is. Let me show you what I mean. That is called being a union, not unity. Unity means this: many different components making up one body functioning together. A union is many different bodies working together as a big union and conglomeration. Let me show you what I mean by that. I think I can help you. A denomination is a union. It's not unity. You have churches, whether it be Southern Baptist, whether it be Catholic, whether it be Presbyterian or Methodist. You have them all over the world, and they make up the denomination, and they're unionized under that name, and they all cooperate together as a big union, but it doesn't mean they have unity. Make sense to everybody? Let me show you what I mean. The Southern Baptist Convention is a union. It's not unified. It's unionized. Let me show you what I mean. There are tens of thousands of Southern Baptist churches. All of them participate in what's called the cooperative program. You take, they tell your church, you take your offerings, and you have to send a certain amount of it to corporate headquarters. They tell you how much your church pays in union dues, so to speak. And those dues are there to help the convention go on and support Southern Baptist colleges. Southern Baptist colleges such as Baylor University, Georgetown University in Kentucky, Howard Payne University, Liberty University, Charleston Southern University, and other colleges, by the way, of which all of those colleges teach evolution. All of those colleges no longer use the King James Bible. I'll tell you something. Baylor University is where Dr. Lester Roloff went to Bible college. Most of you didn't even know it was a Southern Baptist college, did you? It is so much in the world today that you don't realize that all of those tens of thousands of Baptist churches and the offerings they take, part of their offerings go to support those colleges. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think it's a crime for a church to send their money someplace where they teach that something contrary to this book right here. I'm real careful about who we send our money to. Say why? Because I don't think it's right. Now, we have to have a mortgage. I can't guarantee that we can't. And by the way, I don't mean for the rest of our existence we're going to have mortgages. I hope someday to be able to build buildings without needing a loan. We're going to get this new one paid off. We'll raise the money, get the next one. Amen. And I'm for that, but you got to start somewhere. And I'm not always for it, but I will say this. I'm not going to support missionaries that don't preach the right doctrine. Not going to support missionaries that preach from the wrong Bible. Not going to bring people in to bring to you that preach wrong doctrine and say, oops, well, I just didn't do my homework. No, that's my fault, not yours. And I don't think we ought to support them. I don't think we ought to send money to Shepherd University to support them and the sodomites there. Right. I can't believe you said that, preacher. I did. Just hang on. You see, the cooperative program is a union. It's not unity. Churches begin to decay, listen to this, when they desire union over unity. Let me say that again. Churches begin to decay when they begin to desire a union over unity. Churches want to get along with other churches. So they start having all these fellowships. And they start having all these meetings, and let's cooperate together, and let's work together. And if we have a meeting someday and there's some other churches that want to come, fine, I have no problem with it. But I'm not out here promoting it. We're here for ourselves to have our church be built by our people. Everybody doing okay? It's not my job to go to the local ministerial association and get the cooperation of other people that are much like us. That's called a union. I'm just going to say it. Just hang on here. A church with a good spirit doing the work of God with the word of God is unified. We don't need to cooperate with churches all over the country to have unity. Here's what's happened. Let me show you what I mean. I'll get to it here in just a moment. I'm getting ahead of myself, and if I don't preach it, what's here, I'm going to get ahead. A Southern Baptist church, all their orders come from Atlanta, Georgia. That's where the Southern Baptist headquarters is. They send out the Sunday school material, and they tell you what to teach in your church in every one of the tens of thousands of Sunday school churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. Atlanta decides what you're going to teach in Sunday school. I hate to tell you something, but somebody sitting in an office at Atlanta doesn't know what our people need. That's my job. Am I doing all right? Now, I'm not being unkind. But most of those people, and I know some quote-unquote conservative people in the Southern Baptist Convention, but they can't be that conservative because they believe in now ordaining women. They don't use the King James Bible only. And I could go on and on and on and on. I don't care how conservative you are, you're violating God's principles to cooperate with that mess. So I don't cooperate with it. All right? So Sunday school is unity. A convention, a fellowship, a denomination is union. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, here we go. Number one, I'm going to hurry, get through this. I think it'll be as clear as mud by the time I'm done. Some of you aren't awake yet. All right, I think I can clarify it. Number one, the devil's plan has always been to have a union instead of unity. To have a union instead of unity. Now, before some of you get mad at me, I know there's such a thing called labor unions. They've had their place in America, but I'm going to promise you something. The labor unions are doing more to destroy America right now than you realize. They are the biggest funding projects for liberalism and the Democratic Party right now. These states that are demanding that if you don't join the union, if you're in a labor union shop, that you have to pay the dues, they're taking money out of your paycheck to support people you wouldn't support. That's called a union. I'm not saying that the unions are all bad, okay? Don't get me wrong here. Well, I'm going to use an illustration. and please, don't hang me before you listen to all of this. But the teachers' union. Okay, that represents all of the school teachers in our country. The National Teachers Association, the NEA, and the Teachers Union. Do you know what the starting salary for an entry-level teacher in Berkeley County is right now? It's about $48,000. Many counties, it goes up to about $60,000 entry-level. I'll make a statement to you. Anybody that's 40 years old or older, you remember this. Every one of your teachers worked a summer job or had a part-time job on the side. Who in here can work part-time and make $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 working part-time? Now, I realize they work full-time 8 months a year, 9 months a year. But how many of you get a three-month period of time off? Brother Fred, you worked as a teacher. You worked a summer job. You worked construction in the summer. Say, why? Because you didn't make enough money. Say, well, our kids deserve the best. That's why they don't rank the best in the world right now, because the teachers, we need more money, we need more money, we need more money. We don't need more money. We need to teach people to work. We need to bring the shops back to America and teach trades, because America doesn't produce anything. Procter & Gamble's going in. Biggest shop, biggest plant on the eastern seaboard, they're going to employ 1,300 people. It's all computerized button pushers. Nobody's actually going to be producing anything. They're just going to watch machines do it all for them. We have modernized ourselves out of work. Who ever thought minimum wage would become a law that would be $15 an hour? New York and California are passing laws right now that minimum wage by 2020 or 2021 will be $15 an hour. It's going to put people out of work. It's going to destroy the economy. Period. Is all it does is monopolize work and put it more under the government. That's all they're doing. It's because of the union mentality. The devil has had this mentality a long time. That's what the Tower of Babel was all about. Remember the Tower of Babel? They built a great tower. They were going to reach unto God, and they were going to show God how great they were by building a tower to get all the way to him. They didn't know where he was, but they just started building up. Amen? And everybody spoke one language. They were all unified in one language. God confounded their language, and they separated themselves by language and distributed all over the face of the earth because of that. The devil knew what corruption could be done if everybody was the same. Nehemiah with Sanballat and Tobiah. Nehemiah was trying to finish the wall around the rebuilding of Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity of 70 years. And evil men named Sanballat and Tobiah said, come down and make a league with us. We'll help you, but you're going to sign a contract with us, and we'll help you. And God said, don't do that. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that with you. He said, come on, we'll all work together. Let's all be together, and we'll help you. And he said, no, it's okay. God called us to this. We can do it. Thank God Nehemiah didn't go into a league with them. The Jews going into Canaan land. God told the Jews, when you go in, conquer them, wipe them out, push them away, make no leagues with them, don't have any fellowship, don't have any union unification with them, don't do any of that, get rid of them. Well, they listened to some of the inhabitants of the land, and they ended up signing a league with one of the tribes, one of the nations that was there in the Canaan land, and it caused trouble the rest of the time. See, the devil is good at disrupting unity. He gets people disrupted, and then he says, well, let's unify. And he uses the word unify, but it's the word unionize. He'll bring disruption in a church and say, see, what the preacher said doesn't work. You need to cooperate with all these other churches because look at how good it's going for them. Let's be like them. Education does it. I hate to tell you something. This national testing of our children is the stupidest thing to hit education. It is the unification. It is the unionizing of education. Did you know the kids in Kansas that work on the cow farms and the corn farms don't need the same education that kids in the city need? Now, they need to know some of the same things. But for us to have a standardized test, you know, the kid in South Shore, Kentucky doesn't know what the kid in New York City knows. There's a vast difference. By the way, it doesn't mean it's right or wrong, but why do we want to put everybody under one lump sum to where everybody only knows what everybody else knows? And I'm against the unification, the unionizing of our education. When you hear politicians say, well, I'm able to cross the aisle. I can get us all to work together. Look out. Hold on to your wallet. That's called a union. That's not called unity. Everybody doing all right? Good churches in a convention trying to clean it up. There are some good churches that stayed in the Southern Baptist Convention trying to clean it up, and now they are no longer a good church. You throw one good apple in a barrel full of bad apples, what's going to happen? That one good apple's going to go bad. It's not going to change all the bad apples to good apples. Okay, better get moving here. Number two. Each local church is to run itself and follow God's plan. It's not to be unionized and follow what all other churches do. I'm going to tell you something. That's why we are an independent Baptist church. Jesus didn't start a denomination. He started a church. He didn't say, upon this rock I'll build the Baptist denomination. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. Notice it was singular. He didn't say my church is. He said my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now watch this. Jesus didn't start a denomination. He didn't start a convention. He didn't start a fellowship. He started a New Testament church. That church grew quickly. It started with about 12 people. Maybe is a little bit more than that. It grew to about 120 pretty quick. They met in an upper room. Then on Pentecost, it exploded and they grew by more than 3,000. So now they're running between 32 and probably 3,500 people or more. And then later in the book of Acts, it said that it multiplied. Matter of fact, they had 5,000 saved in another time, so they were up to 8,000. And after that, it says, and the work multiplied. It grew and multiplied. Well, if you multiply, you have to multiply by something other than one. So bare minimum, that church was running 16,000, 18,000 people. It was growing and growing quickly. It was a new concept. And by the way, it wasn't the only church in the world. There were other churches being scattered abroad. That's why Acts chapter 8, verse number 1 is there. Because Jesus said, go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. They didn't. They stayed in Jerusalem and the church was exploding and growing. And he said, I told you to go outside this area. So God brought persecution and scattered them abroad. Then they started building churches all over the world that way. Everybody see that? Okay. Now, this church did not answer to another church or to a board. They didn't answer to a denomination or a steering board. If you were part of the Methodists or the Episcopalians or a denominational church, you don't choose your pastor. The headquarters chooses who your pastor is and how long they stay there. Methodist Church decides who's pastoring what church, and every 2 or 3 years they go on a cycle and decide who's going to go where and rotate people around, and sometimes a guy will get to stay there a little while, or now a lady, a female, or one that doesn't know what it is, and it wiggles when it walks, but you're not sure if it's a he or a she. But you don't do that as a church. The headquarters tells you that. That's not what Jesus set up, okay? In 313, Constantine wanted to join the state and the church. He only had power over the state as the ruler of the Roman Empire, and he wanted more power, so he started the Catholic or the Universal Church, and he tried to unify the church and the state. That is what the Catholic Church is. That's why, listen to this statement, that's why the Vatican is its own country. The Pope is the head of state as well as a religious leader. It is the unification of church and state. Okay? Now, number three, and I will hurry. The devil gets people to split, but tries to keep them in the same structure. He tries to disrupt everything and say, well, you can start the same thing over here, but just keep the same structure. And you can build it up better, with the same thing. Let me show you what I mean. In America, the Northern Baptist was the first convention in America. Then the Northern Baptist started going liberal in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and the American Baptist split off of them. The American Baptist kept the same structure, kept the same organization, kept the same type of leadership. They just broke off and started. Well, of course, it's destined to do the same thing the Northern Baptist did. So the Southern Baptist Convention split out of the American Baptist Convention. So you had the Northern Baptist, the American Baptist, and now you have the Southern Baptist. Well, the Southern Baptist Convention, by the 1940s, 1950s, began corrupting extremely bad. And you had a split out of the Southern Baptist Convention, and something came out of that called the Baptist Bible Fellowship. I know I'm calling names. Hang in there. It's okay. Baptist Bible Fellowship began growing. It wasn't as structured as the conventions were. People weren't sending their money, but they kept the same hoorah, rah, 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 gang's all here, let's meet every year, let's have meetings all over the country, let's pull together and let's all be the same. Let's put out our little booklet so if you're traveling, you know what kind of church to go to, and here's a BBF church. And the BBF is now as liberal as the Southern Baptists were in the 1960s and 70s. Or worse. Well, as it started to decay, the sword of the Lord picked up some of that. I don't think they intended to, but that's kind of how it gravitated. And I'll stop there, but that's how things break up, and we keep some of the same mentality. Can I tell you something? God didn't tell us to keep the same organization and just start it with new people. You had the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s. Martin Luther broke away from the Catholic Church. But do you know that Martin Luther kept the same structure for the Lutheran Church as the Catholic Church had? He wasn't mad that there was a pope. He was mad that the pope wasn't him. He wanted to be his own pope. He didn't change the hierarchical structure. They kept the priesthood. They kept the order. They kept the same type thing. By the way, that's why the Lutherans today look just like the Catholic churches. Then you had the Presbyterians break away. By the way, those are all the harlots of the mother of harlots in Revelation. And they'll all go back to the Catholic Church. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. So the Protestants pulled out. They didn't like the fact that the Pope had all the power because they weren't the Pope. They wanted the power. So they became their own Pope. They called it a different name, but they kept the same organization. Now, let me bring it down to where we live in America, and then I'll finish this up. America fought communism, socialism, fascism, imperialism, and Nazism in World War II. Okay? In World War II, we fought all those isms in Europe and Asia and all over the world, North Africa and other places. We fought all of these isms. You had imperialism in the Far East with Japan. You had fascism in Italy. You had socialism and communism in Russia. And you had Nazism, of course, in Germany. You had all these. Basically, it is all a form of communism or socialism. Listen to this. We fought to destroy it around the world so that the world could have its own independence. Did you know that we went in and we conquered these countries that were dictating and taking over these countries, gave those countries back to the people and kicked the idiots out and said, you can't run them, that's not your border. We also helped rebuild some of those countries. We bombed Japan, went over and helped rebuild them and got rid of the imperialistic mentality to give them an independent government. Everybody understand that? Same thing in Germany. We helped rebuild Germany. You don't know some of these things, but our war generals became the leaders of those countries for a while as we rebuilt them. We were reestablishing their old governments, kept our military there to keep peace and order till those new people were trained in their old ways so as to not let these other isms take over them. Now, listen to this very carefully. So what did America do? Don't get mad at me. Some of you gray hairs, you're gonna remember this, but you weren't told the truth when it was happening. We brought those ism leaders to America to teach on our college campuses. Fidel Castro in the 1960s taught in American universities. We brought Russian leaders over from Russia to teach in our college campuses in America. We brought people from all of these evil places who we just conquered to come teach the children of the soldiers that conquered that. Is it any wonder we had the rebellion of the 60s that we had in America's colleges? Who were the generation that wouldn't fight in Vietnam? It was the children of the soldiers who won in World War II. Why wouldn't they go? Because they listened to the evil communism and socialism of these leaders that we brought to America to teach our college kids how wonderful all those isms are, and to rebel against mom and dad and to rebel against their government. And look where we are today. I don't believe in ramming anybody's car or running it off the road. Bless you. But my wife and I were driving to Morgantown Monday. And I got so angry. I said, honey, look. There was a car that passed us with a couple college age young people in it. I think they were female. I'm not sure. Anymore, you don't know. But on this side of the back bumper was a silhouette of Abraham Lincoln. On this side of the back of the car was a vote for Bernie Sanders sticker. I wanted to go up there and ram that car off the road and rip Abe Lincoln's picture off that car. I thought, how stupid. Bernie Sanders and Abe Lincoln on the same vehicle. That doesn't go together. Now, I'm not the brightest star in the sky, but I know that's not the same. Abraham Lincoln was not a professed socialist communist. Matter of fact, very much so the opposite. Now, wait a minute. America socially wants to be equal. We shouldn't have people that don't have the same thing that everybody has. It's not fair for the leader of these big corporations to have a lot of money. How come he can have money and the people that work in the shop don't have as much? Because he owns the company. That's what capitalism is all about. Hillary Clinton running around with her big trap open. We don't need trickle-down economics anymore. Well, I've never heard of trickle-up economics, have you? It's not trickling up. Everybody doing okay? Now, hang on here. We want to have everybody the same financially. Did you know when I started working in the restaurants when I was 16 years old, I didn't make $15 an hour? Made $2.80 an hour. And I thought I was living on streets of gold, man. My dad couldn't believe I made that much money. It went up to $3.15 just after I got in. Man, I got a raise right away. It was great. When I started working in a machine shop in 87. I was making $3.50 an hour to work in a machine shop. $3.50. When I left 2.5, 3 years later, I was making 7.25, I think. I had doubled my salary because I worked my tail off. My daughter, her first job working at Bob Evans made more than I did after 3 years in a machine shop. Now, I know, cost of living. But it doesn't cost that much more. Now, hang in there. We shouldn't rebuild with the same machinery. If something's causing decay, you don't pull out of it and bring the convention here. If something's causing decay, you know, if you drink a certain drink and somebody dies, you don't take a sip of it to see if you're going to die. You know, if you ladies start hatching kiddos here and it's because of the water, I'm turning the water off for my wife, amen? Don't drink the water. Now, wait a minute. We're not to rebuild doing the same thing that causes the same destruction. Now, I have to hurry because I promised to get you out early, and I will. Number next, every generation has to fight for its own freedom to have unity, not union. Every generation has to fight for its own freedom to have unity and not union. Did you know why those great churches, some of them, are as nasty and as liberal as they are today? Because the generation after a great leader was there didn't fight to keep it the same way as the old feller did. They decided they could change the word of God and it'd be okay. They could change the music and it would be okay. They could, well, let's not be quite so formal. Let's get intellectual. We'll have seminars for church. And we've got to reach this generation, so we'll take our suit coats off and take our ties off and we'll wear our turtleneck shirts and move the pulpit and sit down on a chair and teach everybody with one of these weirdo mics that hooks up from your ear to your lip here. And we'll look real static, and we'll have our PowerPoint presentations, and we'll reach this generation with their tools. My Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching. Amen. We're not supposed to be like the world with our church. Matter of fact, the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Just because a church had a good generation in the past, or two generations in the past, does not mean that it is good today. Let me say that again. Just because a church had a good generation or two in the past does not mean that it's still good today. You say, why? Because every generation has to figure it out and do it the right way. Each generation must fight the battle for right, just like the previous generation that built that to a great church. I'm going to use a name here. I love you. God bless Dr. Lee Robertson. Built the great Highland Park Baptist Church, Tennessee Temple University in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He retired. They brought a man in. He changed the church. Brother Stoltz, you know this is true because you've heard it as well from the very people that said it. There were people that went to visit there and they said, where's Dr. Robertson's office? They said, who? They said, Dr. Robertson. They said, who's that? Oh, you mean that weird old man? Yeah, his office is down the end of the hall down there. That's what they called him while he was still alive in his 80s and 90s. Dr. Robertson died. Tennessee Temple is no longer in existence. 3 years ago, they moved Tennessee Temple back into the Southern Baptist Convention. They printed for one solid year a retractive statement saying they should have never left the Southern Baptist Convention. They're sorry that they did and that they would stay in the convention from now on. And the Highland Park Baptist Church is no longer. They now call it the Church of the Highlands. And it is a Southern Baptist church. Rock and roll, not even close to what it was. What happened? The generation after Dr. Robertson didn't fight for the right to do what they were doing. They just let it go. I hate to tell you this, if I went through Chattanooga, I wouldn't visit there for church. Tell you why, because it's not like what we're supposed to be at. And I'd probably get mad and get thrown out. I could go through Canton Baptist Temple, same thing. J. Frank Norris, both of his churches, Temple Baptist in Detroit and First Baptist in Fort Worth, same thing happened. Every generation must decide to stand for right or it'll get swallowed up by liberalism under the guides thinking they're unity, but it's actually unionization. See, seems like many second and third generations change because they're holding on to the past without standing for it in the present. They're living on a past, but they're not standing for it and fighting for it like they did in the past. Each generation has to take a stand, not just to hold on what used to be, but to keep it the way God said have it to be. Now watch this. That's to decide your course of action. Say, how does a church not change? That book doesn't change. As long as we follow that book, we're not going to change, and we can stay unified in the faith by it.
Yes, sir.
That is exactly what it's about. I'm not against, okay, we took 10, 12 people over to Brother Arcola's to hear a couple fellows preach the other night. I'm not against that. But I didn't tell Brother Arcola how to run his church service either. I didn't have anything to do with the church service. I showed up, plunked her down, and sat there for two sermons. Amen. Say why? Wasn't my church, it was his. Well, what would you, it doesn't matter what I would have done. Wasn't my church, wasn't my church service. I didn't have to lead it, didn't think about leading it. I couldn't even tell you what I would have done differently because I didn't think about it. I really didn't. I didn't think one time, oh man, I wouldn't do that. Oh, I can't believe he did that. I would have done, I didn't think that one time. Say, what'd you do? I sat there and enjoyed it and soaked it all up. See, every generation has to let the Bible decide the course of action, not culture.
Right.
Doesn't matter what society says.
Right.
Doesn't matter what culture says.
Right.
Not because somebody has a big crowd.
Amen.
You can go to any ball game or any liberal big church in the world you want. Just a big crowd doesn't mean it's right. Here it is. Be careful of your friends of the past. Some of them have changed and you're holding on to it because they used to be a friend. I'm not saying you disown a friend, but I am saying this. A friend that has changed shouldn't influence you. Because they were right once doesn't mean they still are. Some of you dabble and wonder why you struggle so much because you're holding on to a past and not using it to fight with the future with. And fight for the present. I thank God for what's been put into me, but a lot of places I've been, I couldn't go back to. Not because I'm such a bad person, they changed, I didn't. I still believe what they taught me. I still believe it the way they taught it. And I still believe the same one they taught.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. Well, what do you do when your friends change? I just don't fellowship with them. Well, don't you miss them? Yeah, but I'll catch up with them in heaven. Don't worry. I don't want to fight with them. Well, why don't you just talk about those things which you agree? There's so little that I agree with them on that I'd probably end up fighting with them. So I just don't do it. Let's not unionize. Let's not try to get into this mentality of becoming a union and, well, we've got to get along with this church and that church and this church and that church. I'm not going to fight any church that's preaching the gospel, but I'm here to tell you, we're not in this thing to get a whole bunch of churches together to fill a building every few months with a special meeting. We're here to build a church for God. It's independent, autonomous. We're supposed to be in here doing our thing, reaching the people we can reach, letting God bless us and help us go out and reach more people. That's called unity. That's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Be careful that we don't allow the union mentality to destroy us. The devil will disrupt it by gossip. He'll disrupt it by different avenues, shake us up, try to get us to unionize, thinking we're unified. No, unified means we follow this book, we do what it says, and everything will be all right.